Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hanmi Financial Corporation's third quarter 2015 conference call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded for replay purposes. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, the conference will be open for questions. I would now like to introduce Ms. Christina Lee, First Vice President of Investor Relations and Corporate Strategy. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Rob, and thank you all for joining us today. With me to discuss Hanmi Financial's third quarter 2015 earnings are C.J. Kim, our President and Chief Executive Officer, Bonnie Lee, Chief Operating Officer, Ron Santarosa, Senior Executive Vice President, Corporate Finance and Strategy, and Michael McCall, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Kim will begin with an overview of the quarter, and Mr. McCall will then provide more details on our operating performance and credit quality. At the conclusion of the prepared remarks, we'll open the session for questions. In today's call, we may include comments and forward-looking statements based on current plans, expectations, events, and financial industry trends that may affect the company's future operating results and financial position. Our actual results could be different from those expressed or implied by our forward-looking statements, which involve risks and uncertainties. The speakers on this call claim the protection of the safe harbor provisions contained in Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. For some factors that may cause our results to differ from our expectations, please refer to our SEC filings, including our most recent Form 10-K and 10-Q. In particular, we direct you to the discussion in our 10-K of certain risk factors affecting our business. This morning, Hanmi Financial issued a news release outlining our financial results for the third quarter of 2015, which can be found on our website at hanmi.com. I'll now turn the call over to Mr. Kim.
Thank you, Christina. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to discuss our 2015 third quarter results. Hanmi's strong third quarter performance is the best evidence yet that our profitable growth and expansion strategy is taking hold following last year's acquisition of Central Bancorp, Inc. Let me briefly summarize the highlights. Year-over-year earnings are up sharply. We remain extremely focused on improving operating efficiencies and enhancing long-term profitability across the enterprise. In addition to cost reduction initiatives implemented in the first half of the year, during the third quarter, we completed the closure and consolidation of four branches that will produce significant expense savings in the future periods. Total loans are significantly higher thanks to the successful repositioning of our balance sheet that includes the positive impact of deploying securities from the CBI acquisition into higher yielding loans. Loan production was excellent in the third quarter due to strong growth in our core California market and meaningful contributions from our expansion efforts, namely our operations in Texas and Illinois, along with our new healthcare banking group. Importantly, we're achieving this growth while maintaining our conservative underwriting standards and improving overall asset quality. And our ongoing focus on a relationship-driven, high-touch banking strategy is driving a low-cost deposit base with higher demand deposits. Looking more closely at our third quarter results, we reported net income of $14 million, or 44 cents per diluted share. Compared with the third quarter of 2014, net income was up 52% from a year ago after adjusting for the CBI acquisition bargain purchase gain and merger and integration costs recognized in 2014. On a linked quarter basis, I'm pleased to report that the net income for the third quarter was the same as the second quarter of 2015. As a result, the return on average assets of 1.38% for the third quarter is almost identical to 1.39% generated in the second quarter. As much of our loan production occurred late in the third quarter, the benefits of higher loan totals will be more pronounced in the fourth quarter. In addition, we had one-time charges associated with the third quarter branch closures and consolidations, as well as expense related to our corporate rebranding effort. While the rebranding campaign will continue through the fourth quarter, we expect advertising and promotion expense to fall back beginning next year. Adjusting for one-time charges associated with the branch closures, the efficiency ratio for the third quarter was 55.6%. Net loan totals are up 6% quarter over quarter, driven by new loan production for the quarter of $306 million. Our new operations in Texas and Illinois, coupled with our new healthcare banking group, made solid contributions to our loan production in the third quarter, generating more than 20% of production. We expect efforts in these areas to continue to gain momentum as we move forward. Loan production in the third quarter consisted mainly of $231 million of commercial real estate loans and $40 million of SBA loans. In addition, we generated $31 million in C&I loans. C&I loan production was nearly two times higher than the third quarter last year and reflects our ongoing emphasis on business banking to diversify our loan portfolio. In addition, our C&I loan balance at the end of the third quarter of $281 million represents an increase of 7.8% and 19.2% from the second quarter of 2015 and the third quarter of 2014, respectively. C&I loans now represent 9.2% of our loan portfolio. Our loan pipeline for the fourth quarter remains robust as we expect year-over-year net loan growth to be in the low double digits. Deposit growth for the third quarter was strong, driven by 5% growth in demand deposits for the quarter. Overall, total deposits reached $3.5 billion, and demand deposits now comprise 31.7% of total deposits. And finally, we continue to emphasize credit quality. Loan-to-value ratios on new commercial real estate loan originations for the third quarter averaged 48.7%. Non-performing loans, excluding PCI loans, fell to $23.9 million, or 0.79% of loans, a 20 basis point improvement from the prior quarter. We experienced year-to-date net recoveries of 7 basis points and recorded negative provisions in each quarter of 2015. Our allowance for loan losses now stands at 1.52% of loans at the end of the third quarter. Our focus on disciplined underwriting and credit quality continues to be a top priority at Hanmi. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Michael McCall, our Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the third quarter operating results in more detail. Michael?
Thank you, CG, and good afternoon, everyone. I will discuss our financial results for the third quarter of 2015 in more detail. Third quarter net interest income before the provision for loan losses declined 3% to $36.0 million from $37.1 million for the preceding quarter, primarily due to a $1.5 million decline in acquisition accounting amortization and the $605,000 special FHLB dividend received in the preceding quarter, which were partially offset by the improved mix of earning assets and an additional day in the current quarter. And as CG noted in his remarks, much of our third quarter loan production occurred towards the end of the quarter, so the full benefit of this strong growth will be realized in the fourth quarter. Compared with the third quarter last year, net interest income improved 15.8%, principally due to higher earning assets arising from the CBI acquisition. For the first 9 months of 2015, net interest income before the provision for loan losses improved 29.5% to $110.5 million compared with $85.3 million for the first 9 months of 2014, principally due to the increase in interest earning assets arising from the acquisition. In the third quarter, Hanmi recorded a negative provision for loan losses of $3.7 million, which was net of a $1.8 million provision for losses on PCI loans. In the preceding quarter, Hanmi recognized a negative provision for loan losses of $2.4 million, which included an $84,000 reversal of impairment reserves on PCI loans. In the year-ago quarter, Hanmi recognized a provision for loan losses of $48,000, all of which related to legacy Hanmi loans. Hanmi recorded a negative loan loss provision of $7.8 million for the first 9 months of 2015, compared with a negative provision of $7.5 million for the same period in 2014. Continuing on through the income statement, non-interest income in the third quarter was $13.6 million, compared with $11.1 million and $21.6 million in the prior and year-ago quarters, respectively. During the third quarter last year, HAMI recorded a $14.6 million after-tax bargain purchase gain in conjunction with a CPI acquisition. For the first 9 months of 2015, non-interest income increased 6.7% to $35.5 million, compared with $33.3 million in the same period last year. Service charges on deposit accounts were $3.4 million in the third quarter, up from $3.2 million in the prior quarter and up from $2.9 million in the preceding year. Gains on sales of SBA loans were $1.6 million in the third quarter of 2015, unchanged from the prior quarter and up from $1.2 million in the third quarter last year. SBA's loans sold in the current quarter totaled $20.6 million compared to $19.3 million and $14.3 million in the second quarter of 2015 and the third quarter of 2014, respectively. Net gains on sales of investment securities were $2.0 million in the third quarter compared with $1.9 million in the preceding quarter and $67,000 in the third quarter of 2014. We sold securities with a book value of $101 million, $128 million, and $10 million in the current, prior, and year-ago quarters, respectively. During the quarter, HAMI recognized disposition gains on PCI loans of $4.3 million compared with $2.5 million in the prior quarter and no disposition gains in the year-ago quarter. On the expense side of the income statement, non-interest expense was $28.7 million in the third quarter, an increase of approximately $1.5 million compared with the prior quarter. The higher non-interest expense was primarily related to one-time charges totaling $1.2 million related to employee severance and occupancy expense associated with the branch closures CG mentioned. In addition, advertising and promotion expense increased by $244,000 compared with the prior quarter, primarily due to Hanmi's rebranding initiative. Overall, non-interest expense is expected to decrease in the fourth quarter of 2015 on a sequential quarter basis as Hanmi begins to realize estimated annual pre-tax cost savings of $2.7 million related to the branch closures. For the third quarter, the provision for income taxes was $10.6 million, or an effective tax rate of 43.1%, compared with $9.6 million for an effective tax rate of 40.8% and $5.4 million for an effective tax rate of 19.8% in the prior and year-ago quarters, respectively. The lower effective tax rate in the year-ago period was due to the after-tax bargain purchase gain recorded in that quarter. Excluding this gain and transaction costs, an effective tax rate for the third quarter of 2014 would have been 42.63%. Moving to our loan portfolio, loans receivable increased 13.5% to $3.05 billion from $2.68 billion a year ago, and increased 5.8% from $2.88 billion at the end of the preceding quarter. New loan production for the third quarter included $306 million in organic loan production and $36 million of loan purchases, primarily comprised of residential mortgage loans, for a total of $242 million. Compared with the prior quarter, organic loan production increased 47%, while organic loan production was up 80% compared with the third quarter last year. During the third quarter, we experienced a consistent level of loan payoffs totaling $105.7 million. This was primarily driven by borrowers selling properties in our core California markets to take advantage of strong real estate prices, as well as more aggressive credit structures offered by competing regional banks. As a result, this somewhat moderated the growth in our loan balances at quarter end. Total deposits were up by $78.9 million from the prior quarter, primarily due to increases in money market accounts and demand deposits, partially offset by a decline in time deposits. The percentage of non-interest-bearing deposits to total deposits was 31.7% at September 30th, 2015, compared to 30.9% and 28.6% at June 30th, 2015 and September 30th, 2014, respectively. The cost of deposits was 44 basis points in the third quarter, unchanged from the prior quarter. Net interest margin for the third quarter of 2015 was 3.80% compared with 3.97% for the second quarter of 2015 and 3.72% for the year-ago period. The decline in the net interest margin for the third quarter compared to the preceding quarter was primarily due to the 17 basis point decline in the impact of acquisition accounting. Net interest margin, including the impact of excluding the impact of acquisition accounting, remained unchanged at 3.48%, even though the preceding quarter's net interest margin reflected the aforementioned $605,000 special FHLB dividend. For the first 9 months of 2015, net interest margin was 3.89% compared with 3.80% for the first 9 months of 2014. Now I'd like to turn the call back to CG.
Thank you, Michael. Having recently celebrated the one-year anniversary of the completion of the acquisition of CDI, it gives me great pleasure to see the fruits of our efforts over the past year manifested in the strong third quarter results we reported today. Given the solid growth we are seeing in our core California markets, the ongoing success of our expansion efforts, continued credit quality, and our sharp focus on cost containment, we have created a platform to drive profitable growth at Hanmi in the quarters and years ahead. Thank you for your attention this afternoon, and I look forward to updating you on our progress again next quarter. Thank you. Christina?
Rob, let's open the call for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star key. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes in the line of Kelly Mota with Keith Burnett and Woods. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good evening.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I was wondering if you could provide more color on the contribution from the healthcare banking group in terms of DDAs for the quarter, and if you had expectations for that for the remaining part of the year and going into next year.
When they arrived last quarter, or I should say tail end of the second quarter, and we announced it as part of the second quarter results, the expectation that I communicated was roughly about $50 million in loans and $50 million in DDAs. On the loan side, they're a little further ahead. They generated commitments of about $35 million as of the end of third quarter. On the DDAs, they're still running fast to get all the accounts signed up. But within the, you know, by the end of this year, I think those two targets, 50-50, are achievable.
Okay. Thank you. And then in terms of loan production from Texas and Illinois this quarter, is there a way you could break out the contribution from these markets and kind of your expectations for that going forward?
The Texas market is producing at a little faster clip than the Illinois is, principally because of the fact that the Texas branch network is a little bit more mature in terms of its positioning and the personnel. For the third quarter, they generated in the range of $35 million. Illinois was less than that. I think it was in about the $4 million range for the the third quarter. For the fourth quarter, we expect both operations to individually generate somewhere in the range of $30 to $40 million per region.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking my questions. I'll step back now.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question is from Matthew Clark with Piper Jaffray. Please proceed with your question. Matthew, you're live in the Q&A.
Sorry. How you doing? Good afternoon. Sorry about that.
Good afternoon.
Can you just give us the rate at which new money, you know, new loans were going on the books? I think your core loan yield was down 2 basis points. Just curious what the rate was on the new production this quarter.
Well, first of all, as far as the core yield is concerned, we actually are maintaining that. The new loans that are generated for the quarter, is yielding at a level that's comparable to what we've been generating in the prior quarters. And so, as an example, before or excluding the SBA loans, we're generating new loans in the range of about 420, and that does not include the purchase portfolio. So that level of yield is somewhat consistent, has been consistent for the last 3 to 4 quarters.
Okay. Sounds good. And then in terms of SBA gains going forward, it looks like you did about $40 million in production this quarter. Just curious whether or not we might see a step up in terms of the realized gains, or you think you're going to hold this 1.6 next year.
Yeah, Matt, for the third quarter, the $40 million number includes $11 million of SBA 504s and $29 million of the 7As. I think I've stated in the past that we want to generate somewhere in the range of about $120 to $160 million year over year, the volume being dependent upon the economy and the market and competition and all that. We think that we're going to be in that range of 120 to 150. The premium income continues to become a little bit more challenging. We generated for the quarter 10.2% premium. That's a little bit lower than the prior quarter at 10.9, and we expect that due to competition that that premium income may actually even come down further as we go into 2016. Having said that, though, we have a very seasoned and experienced SBA team spread out throughout the country in various different offices and locations. And so we're fairly comfortable that the volume and the premium income in 16 is going to be comparable to 2015.
Okay. And then can you just remind us what the remaining, thinking through the core margin and the reported margin, just the remaining discount accretion that you expect to come through income over the next couple of years. And then, I assume it's fair that we should continue to see some core margin expansion as you continue to redeploy the excess liquidity into loans. But just curious on your thoughts on the reported margin as well, whether or not we might see, return to more normal accretion in the upcoming quarter versus this past one.
Well, let me start with the core margin. I would say pleased and maybe somewhat surprised that we've been able to maintain the origination yield at the level that we have been able to. So that's the good news. On the liability side, we have, as a result of the assessment of our former CBI branches, as you know, we have closed down several of the former CBI branches, as well as reassessing the clientele, the business model, and in particular, the deposit base that go with that have come with the CBI portfolio. We are at this point focused on over the next year to year and a half, looking for ways by which to lower the cost of funds coming out of that particular region. As an example, within the next 6 months, we're looking at roughly about $130 million of certificates of deposits that has about a weighted average cost of about 180 basis points, which is significantly higher than the certificate cost that we have in the legacy Hanmi, or for that matter, in some of the other regions. And so we're focused on replacing or eliminating roughly about $130 million of those CDs within the next 6 months. And so just looking out forward, that means that for entire 2016, there will be about $255 million of CDs that are going to be maturing with a higher than normal cost as far as the HMI standards are concerned, as far as CDs are concerned. In the fourth quarter of this year, we have roughly about $64 million of these, $63 million of these types of CDs that has an average weighted cost, weighted average cost of about 180 basis points. And so we think that there, those are low-hanging fruits, if you will, looking at fourth quarter and in 2016 in terms of attacking the these higher-cost CDs and replacing them with market CDs, which here in our markets and based on our relationship banking, we think that we can drive that cost down by at least 80 basis points net of the discount that we took as part of the purchase accounting for the CD. So based on all of that, I guess it's a long-winded way of saying, Matt, I agree with you about the core margin either being sustained or maybe upticking a little bit in the future periods. As far as the purchased portfolio is concerned, as you know, the accretable yield there is a somewhat of a unpredictable and a volatile number depending on the velocity of the pay downs relative to the original expectations that went in with determining the discount. And so you'll see a quarter to quarter sometimes a significant variation as far as the accretable yield component is concerned as we experience, I would say, a different level of payoffs from the non-PCI portfolio.
Okay. And then just the tax rate, can we return to a more normal 40% or so going forward?
Yes, we will.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Our next question comes from Bob Ramsey with FBR Capital Markets. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, thanks for taking the questions. I just want to quickly follow up on, I guess, Matt's questions about margin. I know you talked about the opportunity to reprice some of the CDs. I know the purchase accounting on acquired deposits is a contributor to margin here today. And I think that tends to run off quicker than the loan accretion piece does. Can you remind me sort of when that piece of the accretion sort of finishes amortizing?
About another 2.5 years.
On the time deposit?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's longer than I would have guessed. Okay. And then if I understood you guys correctly, you said that in the fourth quarter of this year, you have $63 million of CDs that you expect to reprice 100 basis points lower, and that 100 basis points is the financial impact to your income statement, right? That's considering your cost after the mark to what you expect to be able to reprice it to, right?
Actually, what I said was 80 basis points net of the discount accretion on the CD. And it, we either will reprice them at market, which will generate an 80 basis point save to us, or we will just eliminate some of these CDs and expect that the other efforts like the healthcare banking group and some other parts of the bank to replace them with DDAs. And so we believe that at a minimum, we can generate an 80 basis point savings off of the $63 million, and perhaps maybe more than that, depending on how we're able to replace the cost of funds.
Okay, great. That's helpful. Shifting gears, talk a little bit about expenses, if we could. I know you guys said that in the fourth quarter, the expectation is for expenses to be down on an absolute basis. Just wanted to be clear, are we talking about the I know you all highlighted there is $1.2 million of one-time charges in this quarter. So if we kind of start at 27.5, is that the base to think about improvement from?
Yeah, that's a good starting point. As Michael mentioned earlier, we should start to realize upon the $2.7 million of the cost saves, so $2.7 million being on an annualized basis. So if you divide that by four, that's a good starting point for savings in 2000 in the fourth quarter of this year. Having said that, though, the where we are today, As you may recall, we recruited the healthcare banking group as well as hire additional lenders for other parts of the organization, primarily in Texas and to some extent Illinois. Those groups, as they continue to ramp up, will offset the investments that we have made. But there's going to be a little bit of a time lag as far as the investment in the production infrastructure and vis-a-vis the income that will come that will be generated by the investments.
Okay. And then just on a couple of the individual expense items, I guess the advertising line was sort of a little bit higher than we were thinking it would be this quarter. Is there, I know you all talked about some of the branding piece in there. How should we think about advertising promotion maybe on an annual basis? I get it can sort of fluctuate quarter to quarter, but how should we think about that line?
Well, as you mentioned, I mean, we have started the rebranding process. Therefore, the bulk of the increase for the quarter was attributable to the rebranding effort, which included the hiring of consultants and changing of the signs and so on. In terms of the actual advertising budget, I'll let Bonnie speak to that.
Yes, we did have a little bit elevated expenses on the advertising, but it should be normalized in the beginning of the next quarter, actually beginning of the first quarter next year.
It's probably, you're probably looking at roughly about a $2 million a year for advertising and promotional expense.
Okay. So $2 million a year is a good run rate in the future. And then it sounded like that expense doesn't really come down in the fourth quarter. So the fourth quarter will look similar to this one?
Correct.
Okay. And then professional fees also still seem a little bit elevated. Is there any room for improvement on that line?
Yes, there will be. We have that line item includes the legal expenses, and most of that are attributable to the portfolio that we picked up from PCI. So as we continue to generate the successes in terms of lowering of the problem assets, that number will come down. Furthermore, because of some weaknesses that we have had in the special assets area as it relates to former CBI, we have inherited and we have retained consultants. And those consultants, likelihood will be gone by at the end of this calendar year. So that will also create another source of saves. So you should expect starting in the first quarter of 2016, reduction as far as professional fees are concerned.
Great. Got it. Sorry, let's see here. The other question, if we could just sort of think a little bit about growth. I know you guys highlighted that a lot of the loan growth was kind of back-end loaded this quarter. And I guess also this quarter, you all did continue to bring down the securities book. You've talked about wanting to be 15% of assets, and it looks like you're kind of there on an end-of-period basis, not quite on average. But in the fourth quarter, is it fair to think that the average earning asset growth will still be something less than the loan growth, is at least on an average basis? Some of the loan growth is funded by securities declines?
Yes. Yes, I don't think you'll see the balance sheet expand commensurate with the expected growth in the loans for the fourth quarter.
Got it. And then next year, will the loan growth be more the driver of loan growth? Because I think the securities book will be kind of more right-sized for that point.
Yeah. And, if we do the things that we have done and we're capable of doing, you'll continue to see growth in our deposit base. And therefore, that would be a source of liquidity on an ongoing basis to support the loan growth for Hanmi.
All right. Last question. I'll hop out. I appreciate all the time. But the gains on sales of purchased credit impaired loans and securities both were pretty big contributors to earnings and profitability this quarter. Just curious, you know, have you all sort of worked through much of what you think you'll sell on the PCI book, or is there more to come? How are you thinking about fourth quarter in terms of both loan sales and security sales?
Well, first of all, we have not sold any of the PCI loans. Those are the reductions that you've seen are as a result of the just basic workout successes. So based on that, it's hard to predict how much in the way of reductions we're going to get from the problem or PCI loans. But that portfolio is becoming smaller every month just because of the way my staff has been able to generate workout successes. So I would suggest that what you saw in the third quarter is probably, it's safe to say it's repeatable in the fourth quarter.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that helps. I appreciate the clarification there. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question is from Don Worthington with Raymond James and Associates. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Don.
Just taking a look at, it looked like there was a linked quarter increase in FHLB advances. What type of term were those and the purpose for taking them down?
They're overnight advances.
Yeah, we were getting a lot of loan bookings towards the end of the quarter. And we weren't sure whether or not there was going to be a short-term liquidity issue or not. So we, as an abundance of caution, we took down some FHLB overnight advances, which were paid back shortly after the quarter ended. We may consider during the quarter additional FHLB advances depending on the rate that's available out there for us. But at this point in time, what we did was primarily driven by the concern for liquidity at the end of the quarter.
Okay. And as you said, they're already gone, already paid down.
Correct.
Okay. And then in terms of reserves or the negative provision, is there kind of a target of where you'd like to see the reserve percentage, or you know how much more we might expect in terms of reserve releases?
Well, it's hard for me to predict because you know we are required by the accountants and whatnot to assess our reserves on a quarter by quarter basis. Having said that, though, we continue to see improvements in our asset quality whether it's in non-performing category, whether it's in the classified loan category or past due. And so I think it's safe to assume that for an organization like ours, which built up its reserve back in the dark days, that as we continue to move out into the future, there's a high likelihood that we will continue to have a reserve release. It's hard to predict what the ideal level of loan loss reserve might be. I think I've said in the past, maybe for a bank like ours with good asset quality, given the economy, the kind of economy that we have, you know, maybe somewhere in the range of maybe about 130 to 135 may make sense. But, you know, there are a lot of other things than my own subjective opinion that enter into it. But I think at this point, somewhere in that range is probably not out of line, Don.
Okay. All right. Thanks, CG.
Okay.
Our next question is from Gary Tanner with D.A. Davidson. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Just a couple of questions. I was wondering if you could tell us what the remaining discount is on both the PCI and non-PCI loans.
Gary, for the PCI loans, September 30th, it was $3.1 million. And for the non-PCI loans, it was 14.4. It's on page. We added that to page 10 of our earnings release.
Okay. My apologies. I guess I missed it.
Okay.
And then the other question I had was just regarding the growth in Texas and Illinois that you highlighted. Were any of the loan purchases in the quarter allocated to those markets, or are they all in California?
No. We didn't purchase any loans in Texas or Illinois. As mentioned previously, they were all residential loans. originating in California and with properties near a branch of Hanmi.
Okay. All right, that's all I had. Thank you.
Okay.
There are no further questions in the queue at this time. Please continue.
Thank you for listening to Hanmi Financial's third quarter conference call. We look forward to speaking to you next quarter.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.